It's your host, Holly, and it's time for a little teaser talk. What's up, everyone? Happy Teaser Talk Tuesday. And as always, I have an exciting guest. But you guys know me and know that I get super excited about anything emo. So I'm more than normally pumped for this episode. I have with me today Ashton Holloway. What's up?
What's going on, Holly? I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me on. I've been really excited to do this. I've seen your show. And I love what you've been doing. I love the message. I love everything about what you've got going on. So thank you.
It's so much fun. Thank you so much for being on. I know we had connected on social media, so we'll definitely touch on that. But just your vibe and everything was super cool. You know, we had a lot of commonalities when it came to style and taste of music. I say style like I am a musician. I'm not, but, you know. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, I love the energy, and I would love to kick this episode off really just sharing with listeners like your backstory. How did you get here? How did you get into the music scene and all that? So Ashton, what's your story?
That's a really good way to start. Thank you, first off. So I live in San Antonio, Texas. I grew up in a small town called Natalia. When I was younger, my mother had passed away when I was around 4. So I've been with just my father and my sister all of my life. A lot of the music influences that I have come from my sister specifically. She grew up listening to a lot of the emo stuff and also a lot of pop stuff that kind of goes into some of my newer music that I'm going to be working on. But as far as being an artist, I didn't really start making music until about 2016, 2017. I had stumbled upon this artist named Mod Sun. And so he was like my very first inspiration as far as artist, just because of how his energy about, you know, always positive vibes, always wanting to help, trying to motivate people to do better. And that's what really gravitated towards me. So I was like, if this guy can start on GarageBand in his garage on a laptop, I can do the exact same thing. So that's what I did for so long. I was doing a bunch of shows where it was just me and a laptop, where I literally had no band. So I was just like up there by myself trying to get these people invested, but I didn't necessarily know who I was up until maybe about last year when I finally got my first live band. And obviously there was like a huge pop punk resurgence with Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker kind of being the lead of that scene. So, I mean, I've always loved pop punk. I've always loved emo. Around that time, whenever everything started popping off, I started to dabble in the genre a little bit myself. And now just as of recently, I've started taking it more professionally, where now I have my first studio album out. Now I have a live band where we do shows and merchandise and all this crazy stuff. But overall, it's been a really fun ride, to say the least. But how did you get your start in the industry as well?
You know, it's so funny. I like that question for a question. Before I answer that question for you, I just want to applaud you. That's awesome to hear that, you know, and I'm so sorry to hear about your mom, but it's great to hear that, you know, you really took, you know, some people can really take something that's like a situation like that and it could turn it into something very negative, but it's great to see that you really kind of, you know, went through all that and then still came out on top with everything. So kudos to you. And
thank you.
Just awesome to hear that. Yeah. But as far as your question is, it was funny because I just grew up super poor. Like we were so poor, like eating out of trash cans poor. And literally the only thing that was consistent in my life was music. So growing up, I'm the baby of 4. So that's all we would do, sit there, listen to music. Like we would, I'm going to age myself. We would record ourselves like that, like the cassette tapes, like you put the tape over it.
Oh my God.
No, don't tell anybody this, but I will say I was really young when that happened. So let me throw that in there. But anyways,
we
do that. And then, we'd play music and just listen to music all day long. And then, just music is just a huge part of my life. I am not musically talented. I don't play any music. You guys definitely don't want to hear this voice scene. But it's just such a, you know, big part of my life to where I'd always go out to concerts and stuff when I became an adult and can actually buy my own concert tickets.
Dude, right? Oh my God. See, like, okay. And first off, I want to say, even though you are not musically talented, you are so intelligent as far as like the business side and understanding how the industry works. So I applaud you all the way. And I kind of have a similar story as of growing up poor and like not having much with my family, but music has always been that outlet. Like I didn't realize it till I did start writing myself where I was like, oh shit, like maybe I've had some trauma over the years. Addressing or something, but I know that like no matter what, when I was upset, that's what would help me get out of that mindset. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I want to do now with my music is like, I want to do for people what music did for me growing up. Like when I was having those days crying in my bedroom, upset, feeling like I was against the world and nobody understood me, I would find a song or, you know, play something like Green Day or Simple Plan or any of those emo bands growing up that would honestly bring me comfort and make me feel understood. Because I feel like in a lot of this generation, you know, anxiety is so much more of a common thing. Depression, you know, which I'm so glad everybody is way more aware about mental health, because whenever we were growing up, it was nothing like that. Yeah. But because of it, now everybody's more self-aware. And so it's just a beautiful thing how even with this generation of kids, that music is that outlet. So I just hope that like with the studio record I just put out and everything moving forward, that I can do that for somebody as well.
Oh, you absolutely. I mean, I'm sure you already have, because you've already made a great impact and splash on everything as well. So that's super exciting. It's super exciting to see you like come to like bring all that to life and everything. But yeah, like, you know, just growing up, you knowing all that, going to a concerts a lot, I started an online boutique, and the online boutique was for mostly women's apparel. So like comfortable but cute clothing that you can wear to a concert, because every time a concert would roll around, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to wear to that concert?
That
right?
is smart.
Yeah. So I launched it, and then I did what any smart business person would do. I hired a coach to kind of help me collapse time, see around corners. And my e-commerce coach was like, look, you can go to Target, you can go to Amazon. Oh, you're there. He's perfect. He's like, you can go to Target, you can go to Amazon, and like someone could go buy a shirt, a Guns N' Roses shirt for $12. Like, why in the hell would they go to your online only no name boutique and buy from you? And I'm like, well, this is a very valid question, because, you know, at this point I didn't have my podcast. I didn't have anything connecting me to the music scene. So I was thinking through, and I'm like, wait, they don't have me. Like, Target doesn't have Holly. Amazon doesn't have Holly. So that's what kind of fueled me launching Teaser Talk back in 2017. So like building, I just know the importance of community in any industry and anything you do.
Community and also differentiating like your product as well. Because at the end of the day, everybody's kind of always using the same formula, going through the same cycle. And, you know, it all kind of comes back to the music as well. Like even with me, it's like, okay, what can I offer that makes me different? Because even out here in San Antonio, there's a lot of metal music. There's a lot of just bands that are very much in the same aspect, in the same genre, where it's just, I hate to say it, but it's generic. And it's like they have no originality. They have no authenticity. And that's why it doesn't sell. That's why it doesn't work or resonate with some people. So like even for me, like right now, you know, the first record we put out is called Reckless Degenerate. So it's very much like punk rock, high energy, larger than life type of feel. So we try to offer that as far as the live shows. You know, I'm up there, I'm going crazy, pushing my eyes out. I'm running all over the place, jumping on speakers, like just doing whatever I can to make sure that when those people leave, they remember something about the show. Because at the end of the day, they're going to come to the show to listen to music. Half the time, they're not going to remember who the bands are. But if you go out there and you give it your all, whether it be 20 people or fucking 200 people, it's going to resonate with them. As long as you're able to like tell your story and, you know, resonate in that aspect. So that's beautiful in how you did that. But it's a question for you as well. So like, what has been the main takeaway since you've had like started Teaser Talk? What have you learned? What have you gained from the experience?
I mean, as far as like a podcaster goes, it's just, it's cool to kind of be connected with people and just really make true friends. And I think with when it comes to hosting people like yourself on my show, it's just not being that person, you know, just realizing that the person on the other side of the podcast, the person being interviewed, if you will, like, shit, they're real people too. Like, I know people see all these rock stars and they see all these people on stages, they hear this amazing music, but at the end of the day, they're people as well. And just, you know, just treating them as people and respecting them and things like that. I mean, not that that was necessarily a lesson learned, but I think that that was one big thing that I quickly adapted, because, you know, it's cool to, you know, interview your favorite band, but it's weird if you come across as some crazy fangirl. So it's having those boundaries.
Dude, and you having nailed all it. That. You nailed that. Cause so I have a little bit of podcast experience myself. Like I was telling you,
I know we're going to talk about that. Don't give away too much of the details, cause I have that lined up in queue.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, as far as like the podcasting stuff, there was a point, or I mean, you might have this down already. Fuck it. I'll just shoot it anyway. So we did an interview with Kevin Rudolph. We did that, I think, last month with a girl named Tiffany from Baking Baked. Shout out to her. She really has helped me so much through this process. But, you know, I grew up listening to him because I'm a huge fan of wrestling, of WWE specifically. Yeah. So I grew up watching that. And so around 2010, his music was really big. He had made that collab with Lil Wayne. He had done the song I Made It for the WrestleMania theme song. So going into it, I was very much like nervous, because it's like, oh, damn, like this is somebody who's actually in the industry, somebody I grew up listening to. Like I was nervous at first, but it's like you said, you have to remember that they're people, because if you come out there, you know, acting like a fan, they're going to obviously get turned off and they're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, you know, but it worked out the way it needed to. And at the end of the day, I got advice from him. Like I really got a lot of good advice. And I think that's been my favorite part. And that's why I want to get into what you're doing. Yeah. And that's why I respect what you do as well.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I know we've chatted about all that cool stuff regarding podcasting and stuff. So I can't wait to see all of the exciting things you'll be working on as far as not only just as music, but as your podcast platform develops as well. But yeah, you know, just going through there and then, you know, making sure you're kind to everyone. I think that that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people, again, you don't know what somebody's going through. There's been so many times at shows, like, you know, I'm just general admission or whatever. And then, you know, somebody's security or somebody's talking to me, of course, I want to like talk back and I want to like engage in conversation. And the next thing you know, they're like, hey, by the way, you know, I went ahead and let people know that you can go wherever you want to. Here's VIP access. And it's like, wow. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. So it's like when you it's just being kind to people. You know, I could have easily been a bitch and be like, kick rocks, bro. Like, you're weird. Guy was not weird at all. But of course, you know, if they're weird, I'm not going to engage. But you know what I mean? Yeah. But like just being kind and then just really giving people a platform to share their message and really focusing on things. But on top of that, too, it's finding a balance of adding that. But then also you have to be entertaining. No one wants to sit there through a boring ass interview on either the listener side or the being interviewed. You don't want to go through a boring ass interview. Yeah. So those are some of the kind of things I've really kind of latched on as my podcasting journey has, you know, ran its course. But I think one of the coolest, and to tie back and put a bow on my story with Concert Tees, I created the podcast because I'm like, hey, I'm always going to these concerts. It always happens somehow, some way. I'm end up meeting the band or connecting with people. I'm like, why not hit record, turn it into a podcast, ask my, you know, customers, hey, like I'm going to be interviewing, you know, Jamie Jasto from Hatebreed, submit your questions for him, stuff like this, where people feel like they're involved in it. Cause it's part of the community. I also quickly learned you have to sling a lot of fucking shirts to make profit. So I paused the boutique. I don't have it going on, but obviously Teaser Talk is still here because I've had so much fun with it. So I got into what I'm doing.
Let me know if you get anything for men. I will support you all the way. But dude, even like with merch, bro, I put like at least a couple $100 into merch. And then we had this show that went so terribly wrong. There's an insane story I could tell you about it later. But like literally we made no profit because it's so hard to move these shirts. Dude, I forgot to say that we had merch there. So I was like, what was the whole point of doing this? Like,
chalk that up as an expensive lesson learned for sure. That's so funny. Yeah, but it's just been, you know, it's been fun and just connecting with people like you. Like I would have, you know what I mean? Like we probably would have never crossed paths if I had ever taken up podcasting. So it's just been a ride and everything else. So yeah, it's super fun and everything. But going back to your music, let's talk on this real quick, slash not real quick. You just dropped a new album. You said
Oh,
it earlier,
yeah.
but Reckless Degenerate. Let's chat about it. What is kind of like the inspiration behind the songs of that album?
Oh man. So, there's a whole thing I could really get into on this, man. I'm just gonna say first and foremost, the music means so much to me. Like I have put in everything from my heart and my soul into this.
Yeah.
I have nothing else in my life other than this at this point. And so,
Well, it's incredible. So you have an incredible thing in your life. I've listened to
thank
it. So yeah, you did a great
thank
job.
you. Thank you. See, and so I had worked on that record for 2 years with one of my old producers that I just recently had a falling out with, and like it's crazy because now he's trying to like ruin my life. He's trying to
No.
blacklist me and like get me like taken down from all these like connections that I've made throughout the years, right? And like now the numbers are starting to build, and so it's
Yeah.
like all coming back around. But as far as the album goes, it is very much like a love letter to the early 2000s, like a love letter to all that music that we did grow up with. All the emo bands growing up, all the post-hardcore shit, everything you could think of from that whole generation of the 90s and 2000s. That's what the whole record really is. I really wanted to replicate the sound, but put my own like modern sensibilities on it to make
Yeah.
sure that it is my own. A lot of it is growing through toxicity because when I wrote that, I was in a really bad point when I was hanging out with like some really fucked up people. I was on drugs all the time. I was always getting fucked up. I didn't care about myself. I didn't care about my family. So I was just self-deprecating like every day. And I had to use the music as an outlet to like finally get away from that. So even like on the opening track, Growing Up Sucks, is very much about getting away from the people that I grew up with, the people that made me become this bad person. Feel Complete is addressing my childhood about how, you know, I came from a broken home and how things aren't always going to be perfect. And then, you know, Hopeless Romantic is like a goodbye to one of my closest ex-girlfriends that I had spent a lot of time with, and you know, we really did kind of like build a life together. And so that was my final goodbye to her, you know. And then even with the last song of just where do we go from here, it's very much a question to yourself of like, where do you go from this point? Like realizing that you're not going to be enough for everybody,
Yeah.
realizing that sometimes shit's gonna get tough, but you have to make that and take it and use it for a better outlet, because at the end of the day, that's what the music is really about. But overall, like the album just really means so much to me, because I was fighting for it for a second. Like the producer that I wrote it with was trying to take away the rights of the music. He was
Oh,
trying to
wow.
copyright it after I paid him for all the music. And so I was like going through this whole legal thing. I had to send a cease and desist out. And then there was just like this whole like story behind it going into before putting out the album. And I didn't know if I was really going to be able to do it, but luckily I got it done. And you know, the record is doing really well right now. It's like been slowly growing. I think we just hit like 5,000 listeners on Spotify. The album's
Awesome.
been out for less than a month. Like I've never seen something like this. And you know, the team and the crew that I have now, they're the ones who really motivate me to keep pushing. Like shout out to my new guitarist Eli and Isaac. Like those guys are the ones who really were like, you need to put this record out. We need to start doing shows. Like you can't let them try to ruin your reputation. But at the end of the day, it's who I am. The music is my story. That's why it means so much to me. These are my life experiences. Like some imagine somebody trying to take away your podcast. So like,
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely
it's like
not. Yeah.
it's like, what do you do?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I can only imagine that challenge. So, again, kudos to you for like just seeing that through. And, you know, it could have been easy to just kind of give up and say, all right, I guess I'm going to do something else. But instead, you stuck to it. Now look at you. So, that's awesome
Yeah.
to see.
Thank you,
Now,
Holly. That means a lot.
within your music, and I always like asking this question to guests that are on because I love it when people like take like different genres and kind of splice them together, if you will. And I feel like that's
Yeah.
kind of what you've got going on too, is on your album. So let's talk about the process of blending in the different genres. Like you've got like emo, pop punk, alternative, dash of like, I would say metal, things like that. What does that process look like whenever you splice and blend all those together?
Man, that's a great question. Oh my God. Okay. So the process, so as far as this record, when I was writing it with my ex-producer, I remember coming to his house and I told him, hey man, like I want to make like an EP with you, you know? And yeah. So he very much loves like the new pop punk and a lot of that older stuff. So I remember the first day whenever I told him about it, I went there and we wrote out like this formula. Like we wrote out this thing where it's like, I forget what it said. It was like, how did it go? It was like Ronnie Radke met up with Travis Barker and got with Swaco, who then got Kenny Hoopla on the album. Like we try to get like everything mixed together and it's like, okay, what kind of song is the first song going to be? Okay. The first song is going to be like theatrical, like big pop punk with like easy, simple chords to where it's not going to be so much. And then it's like, okay, what's going to be the finale? Finale has to have like a crazy solo. It needs to sound a little heavier, a little darker. Like we're trying to figure out that process. And then of course, going into the instrumental, he was the one who wrote a lot of that stuff. So, you know, a lot of it would start from guitar. And then from there, he would start writing the instrumental to where maybe I would hear something to where, like, I know even on Hopeless Romantic, like we had that big chorus at the end. And I was like, man, like, because I remember on the bridge, he had like a guitar part that he was doing. And I was like, I really feel like this needs like some pianos or like some strings to really bring that emotion out. Because I'm a sucker for pop music too, man. I love like Kesha or like Katy Perry or like emotional stuff, like Alicia Keys or Adele, like anything to mix those pop sensibilities, because it is pop punk, right? You obviously want to meet the demographic of what you're going for, but you also want to add in those little elements to where somebody who may not listen to this kind of music can also enjoy it as well. That's what I love about the record. Everybody tells me it's like, I don't listen to this kind of music, but I like what you have and it's good. So it's like, bro, as an artist, that is all I want to hear. That's all I want to hear is just like that validation of like, people understand what I'm trying to say. And like, even with you, like, it means so much to know that you understand what I'm trying to do. And that's why I was so happy when I had messaged you, because you had given me some really good advice as far as how to move forward with my career. And so I'm really grateful for that, honestly. So like, thank you overall.
Yeah. Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
It's just,
I'm glad you were receptive of it and, you know, taking it and implementing it. So yeah, let's talk on that too. So you're starting a podcast or, you know, with your podcast, let's do a little shameless plug for it. What is it about? What's it called? All these cool things.
So for the podcasting, it's going to be called the Reckless Degenerate Podcast. My goal is to get entrepreneurs and get different kind of artists, actors, anybody who is in the industry or even up and coming artists or people who are trying to get their break. I want to bring every kind of entrepreneur and artist alike on this show to get insight on the industry and how they did it, or, you know, to get advice for other listeners, because at the end of the day, this whole thing is all about helping people. It's all about learning how to grow. It's about, you know, trying to bring everybody up, at least on my end. So the podcast for me is going to be kind of like what you got going right now, where it's like, you know, a one-on-one conversation with people where they can be real. Obviously, we'll get into what they want to talk about as far as like what they're promoting. But at the end of the day, it's A, getting advice for myself and other people, because I think that's the most important part. And that's what will keep people engaged. And two, it's also about sharing my story, because at the end of the day, you know, people can relate with the music because of the story. Mm-hmm. People will not care about the music unless there is a story. And for people to really resonate with me, they have to be able to understand who I am as an artist and understand why I do the things I do. Plus, I just like talking to people. It's the only thing I've ever been good at in my life. I'm communicating. I'm very much like social butterfly, and I can tell you are too. But so how do you get connected? How do you like reach out to all these people and have as much confidence as you do to keep pushing forward?
Well, you know, what's cool is like, to me, I'm always intentional about who I bring on the show, because I've interviewed people before that, like, not necessarily I even knew who their music was when they're on a show. Like, for instance, if I got Warped Tour and stuff, like when I was interviewing these people, and I was like, man, I just don't have that connection. Like, it was kind of a, I don't say awkward, but just there wasn't passion behind it because I wasn't super passionate behind it. So obviously I just, made a list of like, okay, who do I absolutely love jamming out to? Because that you have that kind of connection, right? So then just showing up to their shows, following them on social media, connecting with them, supporting their music. I mean, it's not, it costs $0 to support music when it comes to like just listening and, everything else. Of course, buying their stuff that will is again supporting them. So just, doing that, connecting with them. But I think what really helped me out the gate with podcasts, and shout out to my first official interview, an unofficial interview that I had. That was with Jeremy Spencer from Five Finger Death Punch, or he was with Five Finger Death Punch at the time.
Oh,
So me and my sister, we would always hit their shows up and go. And I think I just went there so many shows at this point, like they kind of were familiar with who I was at least, I don't know if that makes sense because I'd always like at least get a wave and stuff from the stage. Well, when I was launching the podcast, it's funny because I was actually going to launch it as a blog, which is so silly because I am not a grammar person. I am not a grammar person. I'm not a blogger. But at the time, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I had hit Jeremy up for it. And I was like, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what it is. This is what it's about. And, shout out to him because he could have completely either ignored me or told me to kick rocks. And he was like, yeah, sure. Like, I'll totally do an interview with you or whatever. And then that one, I remember I was in the Omni in not Galveston, Texas, but someplace super South Texas. And I remember I was in the elevator of the Omni and I hit the ground floor and the door opens. And I looked at him. And I was like, I think I'm about to throw up. And he was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like, he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm just so nervous. Super, super kind guy. Like, he literally was so patient. And shit, like, Five Finger Death Punch, they were selling out stadiums. They were
Dude,
huge. They were
yeah,
headlining
that's
every,
ridiculous.
but they still are, but you know what I mean, back then.
But they're people at the end of the
They
day, like you
are.
were
And
saying.
Jeremy was just so cool and understanding. And then it made me realize that, like, hey, look, just have a conversation. So got him as a blog, but that didn't go anywhere. It was so funny because I had like an iPhone 7 at the time, no
Oh
recording
my
equipment.
God.
My sister was holding my phone like this while I was interviewing. So it's like Blair Witch
Dude,
Project.
fuck
And then,
yeah, dude. Shout out to your sister.
but no, but then she like I would say stuff because I'm quirky. I say stupid random stuff, and then she'd be like, haha, oh no, she didn't. And I'm like, Tiffany, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm listening to this recording and I could not publish it because it was like, first off, it was shitty audio. It was a shitty video. Then you have commentary in the background. And I'm like, so I end up having to get it transcribed. I just came out with a written, transcription of it. And then I had the revelation, the next time to actually do a podcast. But anyways, with that, so I had Jeremy. Great connection. And then I kind of just did the same thing with Jess Margera from CKY and Jamie Josta. They were the first, I guess, first official guests. I just hit them up and was like, hey, this is the podcast. I'd love to have you on. You're in Warped Tour. I'm going to be there in Dallas, all these other things. So just, making those connections with people and being respectful of them and not like, hey, can I get in? Like, that's my number one rule on the podcast. Even today, like people are like, hey, can I put you on the guest list or whatever? I'm like, oh, absolutely not. Like, I'm going to buy my ticket. I'm going to support the band, I'm going to support whatever, but just supporting them and then connecting with them. And then once I feel like once I have somebody on the podcast and they we have conversations and we connect, then they're like, oh, you're dope as hell. Like, if you ever want to have me on again, or or hey, you need to interview so and so. So it's just kind of a snow it kind of did like a snowball effect. And once you start getting those people that like the Jeremy Spencers, like the Jess Margeras, like the Jamie Jostas, and so on and so forth, people start like looking at you differently too, because they're like, oh, you're not just like, interviewing, I don't want to say nobody because nobody's a nobody, but you know what I mean? Like, you actually get the solid names, and then they start talking and telling people, and then like, it just kind of snowballs from there. So I think that's kind of really, I was very fortunate of my very first unofficial interview, just kind of giving me that confidence, kind of like reassuring me of everything. And then again, just shout out to Jess too, because he's actually not last year, but the year before, a couple of years ago, I flew out to Castle BAM and recorded the intro to this podcast is actually made at Castle BAM by Jess and them. So yeah,
What?
it was so cool.
What,
They I don't know
dude?
if they, I don't know if they have it anymore. I have to double check and see. But if you go on Instagram for Castle BAM, Jess is actually was doing a recording studio, so like you could book it. Like I, it was like literally like 14, 13 year old Holly would have been like creaming her panties. Like, I'm like, I'm at Castle Bam.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
like I'm like walking through and I'm like, oh, this is just like Viva La Bam. Like I could see everything and the stairs. And I spent the night in the room upstairs. And I remember when I was like getting in, crawling into bed, I turned like the TV on because I'm low key scared of the dark. Mm-hmm. And there was like a heartogram like wrote in like a Sharpie across the screen. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. But yeah, just, you know, again, like supporting them in a way, right? Because like I paid them to do that intro and stuff like that too. So it's like, just, you know, not always just taking, but also giving back whenever you possibly can, you know, showing up at the show, supporting them, being connected.
That's some really good advice. And that's a great story, actually. if I can ask you one last question
before
we go on. So, like, what is some of the best advice that you've been given on this podcast by guests that you have had? Just anybody in general, any advice?
You know, to me, it's always like, I feel like the people that I've interviewed, and the most solid advice, you know, when it comes to staying true to yourself is like not getting mixed up into like, oh, what's trending, what's popular. Like, yeah, somebody might listen to it today, but they're going to forget about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, just staying true and authentic to your sound, to yourself, to your message. I think that's been one thing that's kind of really helped me stay grounded too. Cause like, yeah, of course I could come in here and have, you know, people from other genres or people that doesn't even make sense to my listeners, but doesn't necessarily make sense to me, but it wouldn't be teaser talk. Right. So it's like, don't get caught up into what's trending, you know, really understand what's impactful and what's going to be long lasting and evergreen. So I think that's been kind of a great message when it comes to a lot of these, especially these season musicians that I have on, and like shit, they made it whenever there wasn't, you know, Instagram promotions. They made it whenever you couldn't buy ads in Spotify. They made it all that, but they're still here too, after all of that noise. So I think it's like seeing that, how people just stay true to themselves and, you know, really, and just really being kind to like their fans too. And, you know, a lot of these people who I've hung out with, who I've interviewed, you know, I've seen, you know, some crazy fans come up and, you know, do some stuff where they could have been a complete asshole and be like, ignored them, but they still take their time. They still, you know, address those people. And you know, even though they're at the status to where they don't even have to, I think that was another good thing too, to kind of see how, you know, people, they stay humble. So just staying humble and staying true to yourself.
Huh. I really needed to hear that, honestly. Thank you, Holly. I'm going to take that moving forward. Like, I hope we can do this again in like a year or something. And I'm going to be like, dude, I took your advice. I'm a millionaire or some bullshit. We'll figure
That's
it out.
That's awesome. Well, Ashton, congratulations on like the new album, the music you've got going on. Congratulations on the upcoming podcast release. I can't wait to listen into it. Tune in. Before I let you go, I do have one last question. How can listeners find you and follow you? And also, what can we expect to see in 2024 from you?
So you can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere streaming platforms as Ashton Holloway. Instagram's usually my main go-to for social media, so Ashton.Holloway with two Y's. You'll find me there. You'll find all the content moving forward for the podcast and the music moving forward. Reckless Degenerate out now. Please, please, please go listen to that. That is my life's work. That is the best album I've put out so far, and I can only promise that in 2024, we're only going to put out better music. I'm about to start working with my new band to start making like a full-length album. So we should be having that out by the end of the year. I do also have some pop stuff coming along. I do have a new music video and a new song coming out January 19th called Worth It. It's a DIY music video that we shot ourselves. We lit a piano on fucking fire and nobody got hurt. The song was made by my producer, Clef God. Shout out to Clef God. He's been the new producer I've been working with for all the new pop music that we got coming in 2024. But overall, I am just so grateful for the opportunity. I hope everybody sticks around and can join me on this journey. But Holly, thank you again for your time. I hope we can do it again, and take care. Absolutely. I'll definitely be keeping in touch with you.
Sounds great, Ashton. Thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Teaser Talk. Head over to teasertalk.com to subscribe so you don't miss out on another episode. Until next week, keep rocking.